And I think the beauty of it is that when we move in a direction like that, help comes. There's always help there. You know, it really is a very faith building event to say, I'm going to do XYZ, and you take one step forward and you kind of get some input, take another step forward, and the input's there. And I think a lot of people don't ever take that first step because it is so terrifying and it is obviously so foreign depending on what you're doing. It's not necessarily a logical next step.
Hey, midlifers, welcome to the Midlife Makeover Show. Are you ready to break free from your mundane midlife? Are you feeling trapped in a vicious cycle of rinse and repeat days? No matter if you're experiencing a divorce hangover, job burnout, or you just have the midlife blues, I got you. Hey, I'm Wendy, your hostess of the Midlife Mostess. I too was hit by midlife like a freight train. I too felt stuck in the same dull chapter. I wanted the clarity of how to create a new life beyond divorce and the courage to leave an unfulfilling career. But I kept telling myself that I wasn't worthy and it was just easier to stay in my comfort zone until I found a little secret, the freedom to live my life my way. In this podcast, you will learn how to achieve a vibrant midlife mind and body, how to create solid relationships through love and loss, and how to create an awesome second half of life. Grab your grande latte, pop in your earbuds, and let's get this midlife party started. Welcome to a world where midlife is just the beginning. This is Wendy Valentine, host of the Midlife Makeover Show, inviting you to explore my Amazon store, a curated collection of all the things I adore. From inspiring books that fuel my soul to nutritional supplements that make menopause the breeze, each item in my store is handpicked to add a touch of joy and ease to your midlife journey. Looking for that perfect skincare product to keep you glowing? Or my best love hair products for bouncy, luscious locks? Dive into my favorites and discover what makes my heart sing. Visit my Amazon store today and treat yourself to a little piece of my world. Because in midlife, it's not just about making over your life. It's about adoring every moment of it. Head over to amazon.wendyvalentine.com to embrace the best years of your life with style, grace, and a touch of fun. Welcome back to the Midlife Makeover Show. I'm Wendy Valentine, and I have an absolutely extraordinary guest with a remarkable story to share with you today. It's a story about a woman who, at the age of 37, receives news that upends her life. She's pregnant. She is a cancer survivor, 18 months in remission. Her boyfriend won't commit, and her father is unsupportive. When she decides to raise the baby by herself, she feels the scornful glances and judgmental whispers of her conservative hometown. Armed only with a dream and a toddler, this brave woman marches into Banner Elk, North Carolina. I have goosebumps. A place where she knows no one, to start an alpaca farm. As a novice, first-generation farmer, she faces nature's most potent setbacks, from disastrous weather events to attacks from predators. And yet, she forges on. At Apple Hill Farm, this incredible woman trades fear for freedom. She trades disdain for dignity. She learns that her connection to animals is more vital than she knew. And with bravery and persistence, she creates a home, a farm family. This incredible woman and mother is Jane Lee Rankin, author of the book Farm Family, the story of a single mom's pursuit of a dream to start an alpaca farm in the Appalachian Mountains of North Carolina. Jane is an advocate for farmers through her leadership and involvement in the North Carolina Agritourism Networking Association. She frequently speaks about farm tourism and the benefits of diversifying farm portfolios at conferences locally and nationally. In 2021, Lee won runner-up for North Carolina Small Farmer of the Year. Everyone, please welcome the beautiful, the brave, the bold Jane Lee Rankin.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
How does it feel like when you're sitting there and you're listening to your story? How does that feel?
It's interesting. I've been so busy living my story. It's really a different perspective to stand back and see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you remind yourself to celebrate your story?
I do, but I have to remind myself. Lies the reality is that I have to remind myself.
It is such, I cannot wait to dive in. I don't even know where to start, but I do have to tell you, I did share with you, I love alpacas. And no joke, I'm not kidding you when I tell you this. So I had my breakdown moment when it was like 45 years old. And then a few years later, fast forward, got a job in Chicago, and I had this dream of driving an RV across the country. And right before I bought the RV, I was like, this is it. Like, if I put the money down on this thing and I buy this RV, we're doing it. We got to take off in an RV and start our own show. Option B was start an alpaca farm.
Oh, no, really?
I was researching.
That's so amazing.
And
so amazing.
I know I didn't mention this in the intro, but you also are a chef that trained
at CIA.
Yes. So yeah. I'm a French pastry chef.
Oh
and
my gosh.
So my dream was like, maybe I'll do an alpaca farm and I'll have people come from all over to see the alpacas and I'll make pretty blankets and then I'll serve French pastries and have like a land. That was like,
that is so funny. So one of my dreams right now is to open some sort of food establishment, which is insane because I have no time. Like we keep talking about opening a store in town and I'm like, yeah. And maybe we can do a certified kitchen and then I can do food.
I know. But
that's,
you know,
so funny.
Isn't it crazy though? We forget to dream and we stop dreaming.
Yeah.
And even as crazy as that sounds of like, mm-hmm. I'm going to start an alpaca farm. I'm going to drive an RV across the country as grown women. Like, what? Like who does that? You know?
I mean, we do.
What? Yes. Okay. So what were the responses like from people, your friends, family? You're 37 and yeah. you're pregnant. And what were their reactions like? And how did you handle those? Did you ever listen to any of their doubts or did you just go, no, Jane, this is what we're doing?
You know, I listened. I did listen. And they were pretty concerned and rightfully, I had friends that were really upset because I left town, right? So I moved away and I took Will from them, right? Mm-hmm. So there were people that were justifiably upset about my decision. And none of them knew what an alpaca farm was, including me. So
yeah, that's curious about that. Like,
right. So I think there was an element of like, they just didn't even understand. And then there were ones that did, and they were really supportive all along the way. So it ran the gamut and it, you know, it's as it always is when we go through things like that, it's the friends that are really close to us that stick. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the ones that aren't so close kind of fall away and they're more location dependent kind of thing. So yeah. And I mean, I even thought I was a little bit on the nuts side, you know, I was driving to North Carolina the first time we came to North Carolina to find a place to stay for a month. And I went, you're nuts. This is crazy. And I just kept hearing, if it's the right thing for me to do, I'm going to find a place that I can't say no to. And that became my criteria. And
Where did this dream come about? Where did this vision come about?
So I met an alpaca at the Kentucky State Fair. So I took Will. Will was one, and I got to do all the fun things that moms get to do with little kids. One of them was to go to the Kentucky State Fair, and I came face to face with an alpaca, and like the room disappeared, the smells disappeared, the sounds disappeared. The fact that I had a kid in the stroller in front of me just totally disappeared. And I had this moment with this alpaca and I was like, wow. And you know how it is. I don't know about you, but I took that dream and I sort of held it inside. I didn't say anything for the longest time. And I kept thinking, wow, what would it look like to move to a farm? Like if I wanted to do this, what would it look like? And I just sort of like fed it inside before I ever said anything outside. And then things really fell into place. I mean, Sometimes I think it would have been harder not to do this than it was to do this, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Oh, it totally makes sense. Yes.
Because everything just kind of fell into place. Like at the very beginning, Will and I had been out of town. He was 1.5. We had work done on the house. We couldn't walk in the kitchen, right? And I'm like, 1.5-year-old not walking in the kitchen is going to be an absolute disaster. We're going out of town. So we went, we still had a cabin in the Catskill Mountains. We went to the Catskills. We come home. They hadn't finished the floor. And I'm like, you're kidding me. We went away for a week so that that work could get done. Right. And it's not finished. And then I went upstairs, right? I unloaded, started unloading clothes from the car, brought him inside, went upstairs, went to the bathroom, went back downstairs for another load. And there was sewage coming out on the garage floor. And I'm like, yeah, change of plans. We're getting back in the car. We're leaving. We're not going to stay with this going on. And that was that little inciting incident of we're going to North Carolina to see if that's where we want to live. And to find a place to stay for a month and to go back and actually really experience North Carolina. But had that not happened, would I have done it? Would I have like picked up with nothing going on to go to North Carolina? I don't know.
Exactly. I know, right? I think about those things too. Like sometimes people, like if something bad is happening in your life, like, oh, this is like, maybe this is, it's like the whispers from your soul that are actually turning to screams.
Exactly.
Like go, go, go.
Exactly. And, you know, on that trip, I had been thinking about North Carolina because I'd been here before for book signings for my cookbook. And I thought, well, maybe I'll go check out North Carolina. And then every time I talked to somebody, they talked about somebody moving to North Carolina. I'm like, okay, I've heard that 3 times in 1 week. It's a sign.
Here's your sign.
Here's the sign. Ding, ding,
I know.
Ding.
Yeah. And I love what you said, too. It was like it would have been harder for you to not have done it. Because it would then those whispers really would have been screams to you, and it would have kept pushing you back. And I thought about that too for myself. If I had not either taken option A of doing the RV or option B of the alpaca farm, then I would have been pissed at myself that if I'd gotten to the end of my life and I had not done that, I'd be so mad at myself for not having listened to my soul and not taking action.
Right.
Yeah. So what? Let's talk about that. Have you always been a very courageous woman that you just leap, you just go for it?
A bit. Yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, both. I mean, I went to culinary school as an adult, and that was sort of a whisper of the soul. I used to drive by CIA and I would just like, I never went in but I would be like, oh, what's behind that wall? And wouldn't it be cool? And that kind of thing. And then I had a chance to tour it. And I fell in love. And then I just did it. I like just leapt. So I have been a leaper of sorts. Mm-hmm. And I've also been somebody who plays it safe. So yeah. I've been both. I'm a very practical, pragmatic person in a lot of other ways.
So. Had you done any farming prior to that?
No.
I love it.
Well, now that's true and not true. I lived on a piece of land that was part of a farm and I had put a garden in. So I had done that amount of garden and I'd had a cat and I'd had a dog. So
That's plenty.
I mean,
What were your greatest fears in doing this?
I think my greatest fear was that I was taking this child with me on a wild goose chase, right? And that if the stakes were pretty high if things didn't work, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. With a young son. So that I think that was my biggest fear. And I was not afraid of being alone when I moved, although I was a little bit afterwards. Mm-hmm. After I moved here, I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm out in the middle of nowhere, you know, this is nowhere. And I didn't know anybody. The only person I really knew by the time I moved was my real estate agent. Mm. And, you know, and it's a rural area. So in order to move, you have to have insurance and a mortgage and there's all those things, right?
Yeah.
The telephone, the gas and electric company the insurance company and the mortgage company were all memberships. So I had to join in order to get I joined 4 things before I ever got here. So I felt like I belonged in some way, but I you know, I mean, I didn't know anybody. And I had spent a month here, so I knew that the people were really sweet. I knew the area was really sweet. And I knew that I fit. Like, it felt like home pretty instantly, mm-hmm. which is a good sign. So I had that. Like, I had given myself that month of us really exploring the area and learning about the area and meeting a few people and getting a sense of the culture here.
So really, it's like you were tapping into how you felt about the whole experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's key, right? Sometimes we overthink things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, sometimes, like, even if we say something out loud, it sounds crazy and silly, like starting an alpaca farm, you know, with a little boy,
right.
or driving off, you know, in an RV right. across the country, not knowing where to go and what to do. But if you tap into your heart, I feel, and just like, well, how do I feel about this whole thing? Even though if I don't have the whole thing figured out,
like, right.
to me, it's just like, oh, God, something exciting and something that just kept drawing me to it.
Yeah. And I think the beauty of it is that when we move in a direction like that, help comes. There's always help there. You know,
yes.
it really is a very faith building event to say, I'm going to do X, Y, Z. And you take one step forward and you kind of get some input, take another step forward and the input's there. And I think a lot of people don't ever take that first step. Because it is so terrifying and it is obviously so foreign, depending on what you're doing. It's not a mm-hmm. necessarily a logical next step.
Yeah.
So, and looking and back in writing this book, looking back at what I did, I'm like, holy Toledo. I mean, I did the things that I put together in retrospect that I was just busy. I mean, I was raising a 2-year-old, right? Or a
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's hard enough on its own.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like I was on the edge of my seat anyway already and didn't have a whole lot of forethought. I was just trying to get through the day with him fed and clothes on and a bath and maybe get a shower for me. Right. Like it was, I was 24/7. Right.
Yeah,
so it was not an easy, but to look back and think, wow. Like this happened and then that happened and these things. And I had never really put all that together until I wrote the book.
Mm. Did you start the farm from scratch or was it an existing
farm? It was an abandoned apple orchard with a derelict Christmas tree farm on it. So we joked that we were going to do a Dr. Seuss Christmas tree farm and sell a hat with every tree. The trees were like all like gnarly and whatever. We didn't end up doing that. We ended up selling the tips of the trees for wreaths because that's what they make Christmas wreaths with. We sold tips and then we just trashed what was left of the Christmas tree patch. And that is actually our horse field right now. So it had been farmed, but it was not a farm, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So there were no fences. There was a small barn, which we call the tool shed now.
Yeah.
And, but we built everything else since then. So
how did you learn how to buy alpacas, how to feed alpacas?
Well, so it was funny. So I started the real estate agent that I worked with. Her husband was a landscaper and he came on board and kind of helped with some stuff. And then he said, listen, if you want to do this farm and you want to build a barn, I'd be happy to help you. And so he helped me sort of move forward with that barn design program or idea. And it was literally one of those things like, would I have ever gotten a barn built if I hadn't had somebody there going, hey, I'll help you do this. So we built the barn. I still hadn't been to an alpaca farm. Like,
I love it.
I had never visited. I had no idea how a alpaca farm worked. My brother had a horse farm, so I'd seen how his horse farm worked. I built a barn for horses, basically. And I built an apartment upstairs because I knew with Will, I was going to need help on the farm. So that was the idea. So I would have a caretaker upstairs. Anyway, it was after the barn was built and completed that I heard about this woman. I'd actually heard about her for years since we moved, that had alpacas in the area. And I heard she was moving and I was like, oh, I better go see her before she moves. So now picture this. So I'm in the middle of pretty much in the middle of nowhere, not in the middle of nowhere, but there's not a lot around me. And literally as the crow flies less than a mile away is a woman in the alpaca business. She had 70 alpacas. Her basement the ground floor of her house was her barn. Like, so she was on top of her barn.
Okay, yeah.
And she had this really steep hill. And she was really big in the industry. And she was an incredible teacher. So she took me under her wing. She showed me everything she knew. She trained me. I bought animals from her. You know, I was there every time the vet came and got to see how she ran a vet visit. I mean, these are things that nobody tells you about.
Yeah, I wouldn't think about that. Yeah.
Right? Like, so the vet's coming. Well, who needs a shot and what do they need? And she would have a really organized list. And she had it all organized in a way that made sense to me. And so I studied with her before she... Literally, she moved before Christmas, and our animals stayed. We bought animals. They stayed with her for a little bit, and then finally we moved them up here when we really got things finished to actually have alpacas here. So it was one of those things, you know, what are the chances that she's right here?
Yeah.
Like, I could have had to drive an hour for that information.
It's amazing how the stars align. And I feel like... You know, you were saying earlier, like about your own story, it's like you're in the story. So sometimes you don't realize it. But then when you step out of it and you look at it, no matter who you are and where you're at in your life, right? You step out of it and go, oh, okay. Yeah. God, if I hadn't met that person or right. if I hadn't taken that route that day, you know, or right. whatever, like right. all these things line up without even trying. They just
exactly.
Ooh. Yeah. And then I feel like when you realize that they are, then you trust even more. Like, okay. Like, even though
it's
this,
be okay. whatever,
yeah. Even if something horrible happens, then maybe that horrible thing is actually steering you into a different direction.
Hello, beautiful souls. Today, I want to share a secret that's been a game changer in my skincare routine. Bamboo Earth, the most natural skincare on earth. In our journey through midlife, it's essential to nurture our skin with products that are kind, natural, and effective. Bamboo Earth offers just that. Their products are crafted with the finest natural ingredients, ensuring your skin gets the love and care it deserves. Since incorporating Bamboo Earth into my daily routine, my skin feels revitalized and glowing. It's not just skincare. It's a ritual that reminds me to pause, breathe, and appreciate the beauty of this moment. Join me embracing the power of nature with Bamboo Earth. Let's celebrate our midlife journey with radiant, healthy skin. Because when we feel good on the outside, it reflects the joy and confidence we hold within. Discover the magic of Bamboo Earth for yourself and experience a midlife makeover that starts with your skin. Visit skin.wendyvalentine.com and receive 30% off your first order. Here's to glowing skin and new beginnings.
So how many alpacas do you have now?
We have 19.
Ah.
And we have 5 llamas.
Oh, those are so... Now, what's the difference between the two?
So the llamas are bigger.
Yeah.
And so llamas have like banana-shaped ears.
Yeah.
And alpacas have ears like a peace sign. So if you see them in a field, that's one way you can tell if you're not close to them. So a llama will be 300 pounds, give or take. And alpaca max is out at about 175, generally.
Okay.
There's always outliers in that.
Oh my God, they're so cute.
They're
I love
so cute.
If y'all have got to check out the, I mean, definitely buy her book, but at least check out the book cover. It is so cute. So tell us about who's on your book cover.
That's Aspen.
Oh.
That's Aspen. And Aspen is very excited about being a cover boy.
It's adorable. How old is Aspen?
Oh, Lord. Maybe 11 or 12 now.
Yeah. So how old do they live?
So they live to around 20, 15 to 20 is kind of average age. We've had one live to 24. We've lost them at 18. So
yeah,
it just, that's, you know,
that's tough. I'm sure you get, I mean, they're your family. You get attached.
They are. They are. Yeah. It's, that's the hard part about it.
So here you are, you're raising the alpacas. What are they used for? What do you use?
We shear them once a year for their fiber. So we use them. We're considered a fiber farm. So we are raising alpacas for their fiber. We raise Angora goats for their fiber. And the llamas are also considered fiber animals, although we do less with the llama fiber than we do with the alpaca or Angora. So we have two places that we send fiber to. One is to have it turned into yarn. Mm-hmm. And then we sell yarn in the store. And we, as we process our fiber, we keep it separate by animal. So mm-hmm. Aspen's fiber, right, is all in one or two bags, probably two bags. And then we will send Aspen's fiber off so we can get Aspen's yarn back. So we keep it, and then we label it by animal. So you, when you come in the store, you'll see Aspen on some of the yarn. That's the color of them. And we have, so they come in like 22 natural colors, alpacas do. So lots of different colors. So we have gray, we have black, we have brown, white, fawn. So we have all those, lots of different colors.
Wow.
I know, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. And then the Angora goats produce, their fiber is called mohair, like the old mohair coats.
Yeah.
And so we have theirs processed into yarn as well. And then we have sold some of their fiber to a mill. So we have different outlet for the alpaca fiber than we do mohair.
Wow.
And then some of the alpaca fiber we send off to a fiber pool that makes socks. And we are one of their leading seller of socks. So we buy more, way more alpaca socks than we could ever produce in fiber and sell those in our store. And we have a huge following of sock people that absolutely love alpaca fiber.
I want some. I don't think I've ever worn alpaca socks.
Oh my gosh, they're incredible. They are absolutely incredible. And you know the whole earthing and grounding that's happening right now? I kind of feel like there's a little bit of an element of that because it's a natural fiber. So you're connected to a natural animal.
Fascinating. Who'd have thunk it, right? I mean, if you go back, how long have you been doing this?
Started in 2003. So 20 years.
Yeah. Who'd have thunk it that here 20 years ago, you'd be sitting here like rattling off all this alpaca.
I know, right? and
this
you know, we
color
started,
and this hair. And,
and we started, we were going to raise alpacas. We were going to breed and board, like breed them, sell them, maybe board them for people that were buying birth animals and go to shows. That was it. That we didn't, that had no interest in the fiber side of it. It was all an emotional decision. And then it's moved into this other business. We have a store that does an incredible amount of business. We go out, we do craft shows. We're getting ready to leave Wednesday for the Carolina Fiber Festival, where we'll be displaying fiber and yarn. And obviously I'll be signing books and doing things like that, but we'll be part of, we're part of that fiber world. So we team up yarns that we either make from our animals or stuff that we buy that's alpaca. Alpaca yarns that are dyed that we buy, we team those up with different patterns for knit or crochet. Mm. And then you can buy a one skein kit or you can, you know, be inspired by these samples that we have. So it's huge, I know it's really crazy.
How amazing. How is this whole adventure of having this farm, how has it shaped you into the woman that you are today?
Maybe it'd be easier to say how it hasn't.
Mm, okay.
Right. Cause I am as a result of the farm, like across the board. For instance, when I was writing the book, I rented a space in town to go write because I have trained myself. I hear every vehicle on the farm. I can tell you if somebody's out on the tractor, if somebody's out in an RTV, what time they get to work, what time they leave to go do animal stuff. Like I've trained myself to notice those things. I also am I'm the one here at night, right? So I hear the animals at night. So if the dogs are barking, we have livestock guardian dogs. If they're barking and the donkeys that we have are going off, I know there might be something out there. And I can tell by their bark and their honk what's going on, like that there's something there, or it's just sort of a stay away, don't come near me, or you know, oh my gosh, there's something on the other side of the fence. You know, there's a difference in the urgency of their bark. So I have trained myself on an outer way, so it's like that all the way to how my day is set up, you know, in terms of the people that I interact with and the things that I do and the team that we have here on the farm. I mean, it's this huge own thing. Mm-hmm. And I am so much what that is, you know, and even the book.
It's like I mean, sounds corny, but you've become one with the farm.
Yeah. And I'm much better for it. Like it was the perfect place to raise a child. Mm. You know, and I would love to say that, a farm's a great place to raise a kid. I don't know that I thought that, right? I mean, it turned out that it was, because he was a very gregarious kid. And so the land and being able to be out of the land and him being a part of it all. Also, you know, when you look at, do you have children?
I do. Yeah. Three boys. Do.
Okay. Uh-huh. So you'll probably understand this. So when we look at what we could do to emulate success to our children, being a part of a farm starting and a business starting is a huge thing. I mean, I could have been in an office working and he never saw me.
Yep.
Right. But I was here and he was part of it. He got to be a part of that whole thing. So even that, and he is this amazing, bomb-proof, empathetic, kind, you know, and face forward, presentable. I mean, he's just a great kid. So
yeah, I saw his picture on your website.
Yeah, and all of that comes through, and a lot of that's the farm.
Hmm.
So
this is just so cool, so fascinating. I'm absolutely amazed. What would you say to a woman out there that is at this kind of crossroads? Do I stay where I'm at? Should I stay or should I go? Should I listen to those whispers and leap? And if they're really scared to even take that leap, what would you have to say?
I would say to listen. There's always a way to take a step forward, even within. I mean, I could have stayed in Kentucky and done this, right? I didn't have to move to North Carolina. There's so many ways we can pursue a dream. And it really is about listening and taking those steps. And one step will bring the information you need to take the second step and the next step and the next step.
Yep. There's that saying by Lao Tzu, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step.
Yeah.
I mean, I think just taking that step forward. And like you said, you'll get the information and you'll get those whispers that you need to take the next step and the next step. And I think to just, you know, be mindful of what's happening as you're going through it and to trust yourself.
Right.
That you'll figure it out.
Right. Right.
Right. You didn't know how to take care of alpacas, but.
No. I'm still learning. I learn new things every day. You probably learn new things in your RV every day.
Yep.
Because not every RV park's the same. You don't get into the space the same. You know, there's things about it that are different. The roads are different. The weather's different. And then we keep learning. And I think that's the journey, is to keep learning.
Yeah. And to drop the perfectionism. I'm a recovering perfectionist, especially as a French pastry chef, right? And I had to just drop that and be like, what will be, I'll figure it out. You learn to adapt and you celebrate those wins, no matter what it is, like figuring out how to feed an alpaca or to, you know, put diesel fuel into the RV, whatever it is. It's like those little wins, like, gives you more and more courage to keep going on.
Well, I think it also keeps us present. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that people struggle with, is how do they stay present in this world? How do you stay present? How do you stay alive and present? And that's the gift, is if you're present, then you're experiencing everything.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to drive the RV up to North Carolina.
Yeah, there's some great RV parks
just
up here.
Just see all the alpacas. Who knows, someday. Maybe I'll start an alpaca farm. You never know.
Well, it was plan B, so it still could be.
I know.
And I love that you had like plan A and plan B. Yeah. So every time I do something, like, I'll see things and I'll be like, oh, that's really cool. That could be plan B. I'll open a bookstore. You know, like, I'll see something and I'll think, oh, I could live here and I could open a coffee shop and then I could bake pastries. And, you know, and so I'm always like, I've got this really long list of plan Bs because you never know, right? Like, it's always good to have options. Not that I have any reason to change what I'm doing, but it's just a great way to live, to think, oh, I could do this and I could do that. And
yeah, I think of life as like a buffet, right? You go up, you sample what you want, right? And like, if you like it, great. You go back for more. And
right.
If you sample something, you don't like it, then cool. Now you know. But you won't know unless you try. So
that's right.
Yeah. And I love
well,
that.
And- And we're blessed, obviously, to have the chance to choose, because not everybody has the chance to choose,
you know, exactly.
Where they go or what they're doing. But I think that even wherever you are, there's ways to, you know, you can't, you live in the city, you can't have an alpaca farm. Maybe you could volunteer at an alpaca farm. Maybe you could find somebody that's got an alpaca farm. Maybe you could learn to knit with alpaca. I mean, there's just, there's always ways to move forward, even where we are.
Wow. So where can we find you?
So I am at Apple Hill Farm.
Yeah, you're at Apple Hill Farm, and I'm in
Malibu
Farm.
So anyway, I'm Apple Hill Farm NC is our website. That's our main portal for just about everything. And
then you've got your personal website. Is it
JaneLeeRankin.com?
Okay, good. I was hoping I said your name right. JaneLeeRankin.com.
Yeah.
And then you're on Instagram.
We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. So there's lots of ways to find us. We're definitely out there.
And yeah, and then if you're over on the east side of the country, then you can
We are, I'll tell you where we are in North Carolina. So we're in the northwest corner. So we're near Tennessee and Virginia, up in the northwest corner.
Sorry, my alarm went off.
We're in the northwest
carbon corner. Carbon monoxide warning here in the RV. Sorry about that, folks. It's so sensitive, like the silliest of things. Sorry about that.
Beep, beep. I didn't even hear it.
Good. You didn't hear it. Okay. No. Thank God. Okay. Acting crazy. All right. So sorry. Yes. Northwest corner of North Carolina.
So the northwest corner of North Carolina. So we're near Boone, where Appalachian State is.
Yeah.
So we're
I
in
used
that
to live in Virginia.
Okay.
So yeah, we'd go down to the Carolinas.
The Carolinas.
So, so pretty.
It's a beautiful, beautiful state.
What's next for you besides, let's see, you've got the book, obviously you're busy with that. You've got the farm, anything new on the horizon? Any new, like,
any other
back there for you?
No, right now I'm focused on promoting the book. That's my main thing. Next thing up is to do an Audible version of it. So that'll be coming up soon. And then it'll be summer, which is our season here at the farm. So I'll probably hunker down to enjoy the season at the farm, because that's when we get the most tours.
I love that you said that though. A lot of us, especially Americans, we're always like planning, we got goals and this and that. And sometimes just being right where you're at, like, I'm on the no plan. Like, this is my project. My current project is the project for now.
That's right.
Okay with that and enjoy that. You should definitely enjoy this moment.
Yeah. So
such a big moment for you.
Yeah.
So proud of you. I sound like a mommy. I'm so proud of you. I'm giving all the alpacas and you a big hug.
Oh yeah.
So. Thank you so much. And I think I shared with you, I put your book on my Amazon store. So you can go to amazon.wendyvalentine.com or go to janeleerankin.com and it's on there too.
Very good.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. And best of luck with everything, because I know you got some exciting stuff coming up too.
Yes, I know. Now, if we could just figure out, we can take this hair and turn it into socks. There you go.
I know, but I don't think we produce enough for socks.
We don't produce. I know, right? That'd be some furry socks there. Furry curly socks. All right. Thank you so much, Jane.
Thank you, dear.
Have a great day. Go hug an alpaca.
Did this podcast inspire you, challenge you, trigger you to make a change, or spit out your coffee laughing? Good. Then there are three ways you can thank me. Number one, you can leave a written review of this podcast on Apple iTunes. Number two, you can take a screenshot of the episode and share it onto social media and tag me, Wendy Valentine. Number three, share it with another midlifer that needs a makeover. You know who I'm talking about. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Get out there and be bold, be free, be you.